This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Bill Simmons with Colin Cowherd. I agree with that general premise. I guess I haven't done the research he's done to link it to coach quarterback schedule. And I didn't fully get his analogy because the Patriots had Drake May last year.
Yeah, but they didn't getting even start a new him quarterback. Right away.
Well, that's true, but they had him out there and they did a ton of losing. So it's not like it's a new quarterback. But short of that, I agree with that general premise. A team goes worst to first every year in the NFL.
All the time, yeah.
It doesn't mean we can nail who that team is, but last year it was Washington. The year before it was Houston. This year it could be the Patriots, and Steph Diggs would, I think, be a big part of that.
Yeah, more likely to have 10 wins or 5 wins?
More likely 10.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And I'm not predicting 10. I'm just saying on that scale, on that swing, especially with the Diggs signing, right? Like yesterday at this time, they didn't have a left tackle, which they still don't. They didn't have a number one receiver, which now I feel like they do. Now, injury aside, or like, you know, recovery aside, we'll have to, well, TBD, right, on all these guys and how they're going to play on their new teams. But their schedule is atrocious, or great. Like, if you want to look at it that way, the division might not be as strong as we thought it was going to be a couple of years ago. And they play all the teams drafting ahead of them. They play some of the teams that are like right around them. Like, it is made for a worst to first or worst to wild card type of turnaround. Simmons' other point too about the Commanders, they were also a team that had a clear cut, like really good team in their division in Philly, which is what the Patriots have with Buffalo. But the Jets, I mean, Justin Fields, a quarterback who I like, but like not that great. And then, you know, the Dolphins coming off an 8-9 season.
Yeah, they were a losing team last year.
So they definitely have that chance. In fact, I would even argue that the on-paper acquisitions by the Patriots are greater than the Commanders' acquisitions. I remember being like, I'm like, the corpse of Austin Ekeler, the corpse of Zach Ertz, the Bobby Wagner.
We don't know how any of the Patriots signings are going to work, and we do know how the Washington ones work. They all kind of worked out, but at the time, how I feel about the Patriots signings versus how I felt about the Commanders a year ago.
I might be biased too, but I also thought Vrabel better than Quinn. Like, we need to give Quinn more credit probably, but at the second they hired him, I was like, dang, Quinn.
Kingsbury or McDaniels.
So I do like Kingsbury.
Right. But even still, those are similar close type of hires.
Yeah, definitely close. And now the Commanders, that new group, they did inherit somebody like Terry McLaurin, which the Patriots don't have that. Hopefully now they do in Steph Diggs, but they didn't have that. But yeah, I agree with them. I mean, overall, the additions that they have made combined with the bad schedule, with the hopefully the coach is a lot better. He's not going to get his he's not going to get his pants coached off every week. Where, because Mayo would like with a straight face talk about all the close games, like that was a good thing.
And you're
like,
got his pants coached off. That's
and you're
true.
Like, dude, you're losing all the close games. Don't highlight the close games. That shows you how much parity there is in the league.
Right. Don't do that.
Because everyone's like, oh, they're so bad. It's like, yeah, they are bad. But you look at the spreads every week in the NFL, it's all like a touchdown or less for the most part. And so, yeah, there usually is close games. How come you're losing all of the close games? So if you even steal a couple of those ones, just based on the coach, let alone the players, Yeah, this is they absolutely have the recipe for a turnaround.
So, real quick on Steph Diggs and will he help or hinder Drake May? Again, I just find it comical the Patriots put out there they don't want a bad guy in the room. And then Diggs, who people are now trying to claim like they loved him in Houston last year. Okay, how is he going to be ready week one and he was a great teammate and the Texans moved off of him a year ago? Like, how? And they went out and traded for Christian Kirk, which means they inherited that contract. Okay? How? It doesn't make sense. He burned it to the ground in Buffalo. They didn't want him anymore. He burned it to the ground in Minnesota. They didn't want him anymore. So I just find it comical. I have no problem with it. But it's funny to be like, we're not going to bring in these diva wide receivers, and then they bring in this guy.
Shouldn't they have waited to the very end of free agency to say that?
Yes.
Because
when they officially missed out on everybody?
You ended up kind of walking back your own words like quickly. Gerard Mayo did. Just like a week after you kind of put it
out there. Mike Vrabel kind of Mayo'd it again. That's true. Yeah. And not that he was the one saying it, but the team was putting it out there as justification for why they missed out on DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And why they missed out on, you know, other receivers is because of that factor. So I personally don't have a problem with it. I know you don't either, Keith. Why?
No, well, because he's a guy that wants the ball. Great. He actually deserves to have the ball thrown to him, unlike all the other receivers on the team last year who were saying a lot of the same stuff. And so I think that if that's the biggest complaint is Diggs just, you know, he needs 8 targets a game or whatever else it is, both Drake May and Josh McDaniels should be good with that. Because we've asked the same question before, and I think we asked it with Curran before. We've talked about it with Andy Hart and some of the crossovers. Would you rather a bunch of, like, really good guys that you don't have to ever – don't have to worry about arguing with them, but they might not run the right route. They might drop a pass. They might, you know, they're not game breakers.
Easy.
Or a guy that every once in a while might get in your face. Like, they're all competitive athletes. They're used to yelling at each other whenever. Like, you don't need to protect the guy like he's so fragile.
And what is my team? Is my team a 4-win, last place, laughingstock team like the Patriots are? Well, then I'm much more willing to roll the dice on that guy.
Yeah.
If Diggs is on Buffalo and Diggs is creating a problem and you're a team trying to go on a deep playoff run and it's like dividing a locker room quarterback versus receiver, well, I get that.
No,
And maybe if the Patriots were a 12-win team, I'd feel differently about him, but this team needs a guy like this.
I think giving your quarterback a different offensive coordinator every year is way worse and more likely to hinder the quarterback's development than getting him a me-first wide receiver. We've seen it work out well. Like when A.J. Brown joined Jalen Hurts, when Steph Diggs joined Josh Allen, when Tyreek Hill joined Tua Tagovailoa, you could probably go down the list. There's probably a ton more of those guys. It helped the development of those quarterbacks quite a bit. I think they'd take the chance.
So the way Giardi put it yesterday, he said on Stephon Diggs, a coach who knows him well tells me, quote, if he's healthy, they got themselves a dog.
Want a dog? Ruff, ruff.
I own a dog.
You know, I have a dog too. Well, you kind of have a dog.
Doesn't have any teeth, but I own a dog.
No.
He says,
does he have really sharp claws to kill his prey?
Really not even.
No.
They just got to make sure to feed him. Mm. So the implication is if he's not in the game plan, he could be a problem. I personally don't care much about that. I just care about how's he coming back from the knee injury and how effective will he be. I'm also interested in what this allows the Patriots to do in the draft.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter, are they more likely to take Travis Hunter? Are they less likely? Like, I find it to be interesting, along with the Giants signing Russ Wilson yesterday. Like, how do all those things fit together? Oddly enough, and I was unaware of this, Nick dug up a comment from Steph Diggs about Travis Hunter. You said from 2023? Okay, so I mean, couple of years back,
okay.
Steph Diggs was talking up Travis Hunter. Here's what he had to say.
How do you feel about Travis Hunter? You got a chance to watch it. He's obviously playing. Yeah.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, anybody that can play that many snaps, he's not only gifted, but he has a hell of a win. I feel like he's falling right under the tree of that Deion, like, you know what I'm saying, playing both sides of the ball. He probably can even return. He probably can do everything. I feel like he's one of those special talents that we're going, like a generational talent, a guy that we won't see all the time. And he might even be a guy that can go in the NFL and play both ways, man. You never know.
Love it. That would be great. Future teammates.
I don't like that he said might, but that was also before Hunter went out and had a Heisman season.
I was going to say, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't as productive the year before. Like, he was doing it. And I think he knows what it takes just to be good at one side of the ball. And so imagine when you're actually like catching your breath on the sideline, like you're also playing defense at a high level. Like, he gets it, how crazy that is. So that'd be pretty good. Imagine that little offseason if it was Steph Diggs, Travis Hunter, Milton Williams, Carlton Davis. Not bad.
Feel a lot better about it. So you guys can jump in on all this. 617-779-7937. Adam's in Foxborough. He's been waiting for a while. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I agree with you on pretty much all of this stuff. I love the Steph signing. Regardless of, what he's going to bring to the team, the whole concept of him, hurting Drake May or whatever, personality-wise, like, my question would be, do they actually bring in Drake when Steph comes in for the meeting, like, a few days ago? Does he actually get to hang out with him and see, like, how they get along? Or is that just, yeah.
Well, they follow each other on Instagram, as we learned.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, right?
Kay Adams interview. He said they started following each other at the same time.
Well, we were talking about, and I know Steph Diggs was not a Pro Bowler this year because he was hurt, but we did talk about this. Remember when Drake May was like the eighth alternate, so he ended up going to the Pro Bowl, and we're like, man, he just talks to different people. So maybe there's a little bit more of that. Now, I don't know if a guy going into his second year gets that kind of...
I would hope with a wide receiver he does.
I would think...
Like, I'm not going to bring in a D-tackle and be like, hey,
you're
like, meet
no,
Drake
Williams,
May.
Right? Why don't you size him up, measure his hands real
but
quick.
I don't know. If he was at the facility, I don't know where Drake May is. I don't follow his social media. I don't pretend to know. So is he even in Massachusetts when that meeting happened? I have no clue.
It feels like this might be something that Vrabel would do. But I can't imagine Belichick would do that.
I would like that, though. It doesn't mean, like, if he's not there, I'm pissed about it. But, yeah, you kind of want to see how that goes a little bit,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Do you think they should be done at receiver in free agency, Keith? And factor in, like, who's out there? Keenan Allen,
yeah.
Amari Cooper, like, do you want to see them sign another body like that? We got a text about this earlier, which says they still shouldn't be done in free agency with, like, that level of
receiver.
So,
to me, it drops off a cliff after Diggs. I thought Diggs was the clear-cut one remaining. If they ended up signing Keenan Allen, though, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah, see, I would like them to sign another guy like that, too. Tyron Smith, Keenan Allen. Tyron Smith, Amari Cooper. Something like that. Really let number four come to you?
Sure.
I would love that.
I'd be up for that.
So, I hope they're not done. How about our buddy Big Head Tony in West Springfield?
Big Head Tony.
Tony.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show. Did you say, Jones, before I get to my point, did you say you have a dog with no teeth?
Yes, correct. Yeah, I've mentioned that once or twice.
Yeah, he's mashed potatoes every day.
12 years old. All the teeth are gone, yeah.
Yeah, like, do you call him, like, Gumby or Gummy Bear or, like, do you have nicknames?
I know you're the king of this, but no. No, we just call him Charles.
No, okay, sorry, yeah. Sorry. So my point was that I wanted you guys to talk about maybe is what about – I haven't heard anybody talk about the Patriots maybe trading the fourth pick for two established veterans, like a left tackle and a wideout or something like that.
Okay, two established veterans. We've not talked about that. I don't know
how many left tackles. After the Laramie Tunsil, who I didn't even realize was up for grabs.
And he went for like a second and a third, yeah.
I mean, we've talked about – you know, the A.J. Brown
Correct.
Type of thing for a while. But
or Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett
before he signed.
Yeah. Max Crosby before he signed.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I'm probably, I don't know who that would be for at this point. Because the A.J. Brown dream, I think, is probably dead.
Okay, but again, would you do it?
Yes.
Four for A.J. Brown.
So, I mean, I would like to get something back from the Eagles, whether it's 32 or 64. I'd like to get another pick back just because four is so high.
Yeah.
And... But yeah,
but it's AJ Brown.
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown, Steph Diggs.
Holy smokes. Championship back on.
I would trade
four. See you in the Super Bowl.
I would trade four for AJ Brown. I don't know if Philly would, but I would.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to respond to something in the Twitch chat. They're always good there.
Yep.
So I said this earlier, actually, if you were listening. I gave an example of how the guaranteed money isn't what's initially released. And the Twitch chat, text line, they're both saying, guarantees are guarantees. Don't you even understand how contracts work?
Yeah, you ever... So, read a contract?
So I already gave you the example of Milton Williams. I literally said it by name. I already gave you this example, but I will now give you the specifics on this. Adam Schefter, when Milton Williams signed, it was reported as a four-year, $104 million deal with $63 million guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Okay, so remember that number, 63.
63, got it. Brad Marchand, how can I forget?
When you can dig in on the Brad Marchand 63 guaranteed, which Florio does with all these contracts, we'll see it from Steph Diggs. The guarantees are actually full guarantee at signing, $51 million. $12 million are tied to injury guarantees and per-game bonuses. So 51 plus 12 is what?
63.
Got it. So the $26 million is not – there's going to be per-game bonuses and not guaranteed for injury and stuff like that in that $26 million guaranteed.
For sure.
I don't want to get lost in the money because I don't care about it. I'm just telling you, the Patriots are pumping up that number because they're sensitive – about being cheap. How do I know? Tom Curran just wrote a big giant column about how they're not cheap.
Yeah.
They're sensitive to it.
No, they are very sensitive to it. I feel like
the only team in the city that you should be mad about how much they give a player is probably the Bruins, because it's a hard cap and it really, really prevents you from doing other things. Right? Like, so if you were paying your goalies combined $10 million 1 year versus like $18 million or whatever, that changes whether that you can get a defenseman or two. You know, signing Bregman or, you know, to cross sports or signing Diggs doesn't really prevent you much. Like, just get creative, move it around. In baseball, you can spend whatever you want. In basketball, they really are spending what they want. Their payroll is way higher than most teams around the league. They gave the max deals to these guys. They kept the guys that they wanted. And then in football, it just drives me nuts that it's even really much of a topic anymore.
Seriously. Let's go to Mike in the car. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment just, you know, on Diggs being a bad guy. You know, he went and burned out his welcome in Buffalo, and he wore out his welcome in Minnesota. I just think by maybe this time, you think he maybe learned something? You know, like how to
Sticking with the dog analogy.
Yeah.
Does an old dog learn new tricks, Keith?
Not my dog.
Not mine either.
He's an old timer. He'll still jump on you.
He just loses
12 years old. You jump. Yeah. He could come over. He's going to jump on you. He's going to scratch you. He might even fake bite you a little bit. The guy's he's a wild man. But I don't blame him. He sleeps most of the day. So he gets excited when you come home. But I don't know. I also think it's honestly a little bit overblown. Like, I get what you've said about, oh, the way it ended in Minnesota, the way it ended in Buffalo.
Okay.
I don't look at him like that bad of a guy.
Let me give you an example. Reese says the coaches raved about him in Houston last year. Okay, this is what Reese talked about, and all the they thought he was so great. Phil wrote about this. Breer wrote about this. So clearly, the Patriots are putting out there the Houston coaches loved him last year, and or all the local beat writers have a connection to Houston because there's a lot of expatriate guys.
Sure.
Okay. So it's out there that in Houston they loved him. Okay. So if he's gonna be back week one, which Schefter's telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in Houston loved him last year, which all the Patriots beat writers are telling me.
It's a little strange.
Then why did Houston let him go?
Yeah, why didn't they want him?
Why didn't they want him? So, like, there's more to that story. I don't know what it is.
But then again, so I bring this one up just because, by all accounts, Cooper Kupp is squeaky clean and everybody loves him. Mm-hmm. The Rams moved on from him and then immediately got Devontae
Adams. Okay, but that's one situation which I'm a little more comfortable with saying, all right, maybe that's wrong. This is three with Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his fourth team. Kupp's on his second team.
True. But does it start good?
Well, maybe. Yeah,
in every place. No, but in every place it has.
Well, maybe not Houston. He was only there for 1 year, so maybe not Houston.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, like productive, you mean.
Yeah. So, like, when he showed up to Buffalo, the guy became – he wasn't a top 5-10 receiver in Minnesota. He was really, really good. He had a couple thousand-yard seasons. He and Josh Allen together kind of made each other, and they both launched to another level. Then in Houston, it's kind of hard to say, but nobody was saying, like, week six, like, man, what a problem he is. Right, just waited week eight, then he hurt his ACL, and then they decided to move on
from
him.
And again, I don't care if he's a me first, give me the football diva receiver. I'm just stop trying to tell me that he's not. It's because he was such a model teammate in Houston.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, stop trying to tell me he isn't. I know what Steph Diggs is.
Yeah.
I don't care about what he is, but I know what he is.
I mean, the Patriots, as a franchise, took a chance on Antonio Brown after he shot his way out of one team, went to another, threatened to fight the GM, and also had a whole bunch of like lawsuits against him off the field.
Yep.
And they're like, bring him in. You know what I mean? So it's like, and I know that was Brady, and now it's Drake May.
No, I was like, great signing.
He had a good game against Miami. He scored a touchdown. That kind of went off the deep end a little bit, but did win a Super Bowl later on.
Get him his ring.
He deserves that ring.
Big Head Tony is now texting in one-liners about my dog.
Okay.
You don't need a muzzle.
You don't. No.
He's also 20 pounds. You never need one.
Never.
Does he growl or does he just slur?
Yeah. Now, does it affect his barking?
Oh, no. He barks the same? I would say he probably barks even more nowadays.
Probably more of a yipper.
Yip is the
right
word.
He's a yip guy.
Yeah. His chew toy is a teething ring.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? Right, how big, Tony?
Well, didn't he take an hour to eat a pizza crust the other week?
He snatched.
Still eating it.
His jaws were strong enough to somehow snatch a pizza crust out of my son's hand, but he ate it for like an hour.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, for an hour.
Stronger than a six-year-old.
Ultimately, his saliva broke it down over the course of an hour.
Really soften that up there, Charles.
He was able to eventually gum that down. We just kind of let him have that one. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. We'll also get you our clip du jour coming up. A reminder, you can vote in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. Our final two matchups to get to the final four, which starts tomorrow, are up and available. It's Red Sox and Braves in the baseball region. It is the Celtics and the Raptors in the hoops region. That one's a barn burner, the baseball one.
Those are the two best basketball uniforms of all time.
Not so much. So you can vote, again, at Jones and Keefe. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter, at Jones and Keefe. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab.